The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, September 18, 2018, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Coming up on today's show, Charles Johnson from Little Green Footballs is sitting in today for the vacationing Buzz Burbank. Can't wait to talk to Charles. Trump is abusing power and obstructing justice again by declassifying documents in order to smear his enemies. Make no mistake, that's exactly why he's doing it. Of course, because that's what he does. Kavanaugh has a rape problem and a whole lot more. We're going to dig into all of the charges against Brett Kavanaugh. Plus, we know what Trump's stumpy wiener looks like. Yes, we're going to be talking about Trump's penis today. The president's penis is in the news today. Yay for us. And primary elections are underway, and the midterms will be here before you can say impeach Trump. And now you can remind yourself to vote every time you wash your hands by picking up Bubble Genius's Vote Soap. It's a 5-ounce bar of sweet-smelling soap, artistically carved into the shape of the word vote, with a third of the proceeds going to resistance candidates across the country. Only $7 from Bubble Genius, but use our promo code BOBC for 15% off your entire order only from BubbleGenius.com. And now, today more than ever, let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey.
Hello.
Come on, how was your date?
Interesting.
Really?
Ooh, yeah.
Why, what happened?
Let's see. How shall I put this?
Well, just put it.
He took it out.
He what?
He took it out.
He took what out?
It.
He took it out?
Yes, sirree, Bob.
He couldn't.
He did.
Well, you were involved in some sort of amorous...
No.
You mean he just...
Yes.
Are you sure?
Oh, quite.
There was no mistaking it?
Jerry.
So you were talking, you're having a pleasant conversation, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah.
It.
Out.
Bob Seska. Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
It's going to be one of those kind of shows today. It is the Trump crisis day 607, 48 days until the 2018 midterms and possibly the end of American democracy, according to Shouty McShoutface Malcolm Nance. Oh, hey, look, right over there, sitting in for vacationing Buzz Burbank, it's TV's Charles Johnson. Charles, hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, you get to be on the show. When the top story in the news today is Donald Trump's little teeny tiny mushroom dick.
Yahoo! The president's penis is missing?
Oh my God, if that was the case, boy, today would be a glorious, glorious day. Like, oh my God, the president's dick is gone. It's run off.
I never knew he had a detachable one.
That's right. Oh, shit. You know what? I should have grabbed that song, Detachable Penis, from 20 years ago and used that on the show today. But
yeah, and actually, The President's Penis is Missing is also a song by the Drive-By Truckers.
Yeah, well, right. Well, you know, in lieu of that, we've got all kinds of additional music that we can play because Stormy Daniels revealed the shape of Donald Trump's penis because... That's this. It's shaped just like a Super Mario character. It's shaped just like the Toad character, evidently. And that's what it looks like. You know what? We're going to dig into all that in just a second. We're going to dig into Trump's dick in just a minute. So
okay, I just had to look it up and see what this looks like. So now,
yeah, okay, yeah, go look up Toad. just Google Toad, and then Super Mario.
Oh boy, there it is. Okay.
Oh God. By the way, I'm going to be at the Sexy Liberal DC show on September 22nd. That's this coming up Saturday. So time's running out. Get your tickets now. SexyLiberal.com. I'm going to be there. Daryl Hammond's going to be there. Malcolm Nance, Carl Frisch, Charlie Pierce, maybe. We got a definite maybe from Charlie Pierce on Stephanie Miller's show this morning. Plus, of course, John Fugelsang and Stephanie herself will all be there. Plus, all kinds of surprises. Carl Frisch tells me he's got a special outfit lined up for the show. And I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to do it. But Carl and I will be on stage together to open the show right at the very, very beginning. So we're going to ruin everything for everybody else. And one thing you can count on is that every single person appearing at Sexy Liberal, the Blue Wave Tour in D.C., will somehow, some way do a Trump impression. And I get more than a few people will be talking about Trump's penis, I'm sure. I'm sure that's going to come up, too. Okay, so getting back into it, have you had a chance, Charles, to look at a picture of Toad?
I have it on my screen right this moment, and I feel dirty, actually.
Aren't you proud to be an American today?
not really.
All right, well, in case you've been living in a box lately and you have no idea what's going on, Stormy Daniels has a new book coming out. It's called Full Disclosure. And in it, she describes what Donald Trump's penis looks like, finally. Finally, our long national nightmare of not knowing what Donald Trump's penis looks like is over. And boy, am I happy that we're talking about this today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, here's what if Donald Trump's penis could talk, it would say this. That's exactly what happened right at the very end. After after 45 seconds of thrusting, it just went.
I'm the best.
Oh, wait, no, I know what it's supposed to be. It should be this. It should be the shooting the Koopa shell.
Honestly, I think 45 seconds might be pushing it a little.
Thinking, well, there's no way he has that kind of stamina.
I kind of think he's more like a one-pump Trump.
Well, she does say that it's the worst sex that she's had. There's this excerpt, and I think this is from the Daily Beast, so I'm just going to read this this passage from the Daily Beast. So we're all up to speed, and so we have a documentation of this on the show so that future generations can look back and listen to this show and know that we spent a few minutes talking about Donald Trump's penis on today's show with Charles Johnson from Little Green Footballs. It was in that role that Daniels attended a celebrity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe, California in 2006, where she and two colleagues greeted golfers between holes. See, it's impossible for me to not read in double entendre in every word in this description. There she first sees Trump. Quote, he had a red cap, a Trump crest as a placeholder for the MAGA slogan, not one of us could see coming. Coming. Is it coming? Coming and holes. And, well, this is reading just like a description of a porn movie. It's basically Trump's bodyguard invites Daniels to dinner, which turns out to be an invitation to Trump's penthouse, she writes. In a description of alleged events that Daniels has disclosed previously, but which in the book are rendered with new and lurid detail, thank God, she describes Trump's penis as smaller than average.
Wrong.
But not freakishly small. No, that's... I mean, I don't know what... What would constitute freakishly small? Maybe...
micro.
Thimble, raisin-like. I don't know. I don't know what would be freakishly small, but this sounds pretty small to me.
I think it's called a micro penis.
Yeah, micro penis. There it is. Yeah. And see, here's the misnomer about Trump's hands, by the way. The actual hand part is a normal size. It's the fingers that are stumpy and short. Because you go back to the original, who's the guy from Graydon Carter, who said originally coined the phrase short-fingered vulgarian. And that's how the whole hand thing started.
in Spy magazine.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So I'm so glad that we have this information, aren't you?
Yeah, we have. Our heads are filled with such useless trivia. So,
but wait, there's more. Quote: "He knows he has an unusual penis." Daniels writes, "It has a huge mushroom head, like a toadstool."
Oh, no.
I lay there annoyed that I was getting fucked by a guy with Yeti pubes and a dick like a mushroom character in Mario Kart. It may have been the least impressive sex I have ever had, but clearly he didn't share that opinion. Right. Well, no, of course he doesn't. He doesn't. It's the very, very best, the most tremendous sex. Yeah. There we go.
Huge.
Letting it all fly. See, this is what Donald Trump said about the sex he had with Stormy Daniels.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Oh, no.
God.
I should have known you'd pull that one out.
I'm getting all of this out of my system now, Charles. It may have been the least impressive sex I'd ever had, but clearly he didn't share that opinion. Daniels' alleged relationship with Trump included one moment in 2007, she writes, in which she was with Trump in a hotel room watching a Shark Week broadcast on cable television when he receives a phone call. This is the weird part. I want more explanation about this, too. He receives a phone call from Hillary Clinton, then running against Barack Obama for the Democratic presidential nomination. So this was in 2007, right? Then, to make things crazier, Hillary Clinton called, Daniels writes. He had a whole conversation about the race, repeatedly mentioning our plan. Our plan. What is that? Our plan. I have no idea what that suggests, but it sounds like they were in cahoots in some. It sounds like they were maybe colluding. I have no idea. I have no idea what this means. I mean, it could mean just about anything. Even while he was on the phone with Hillary, his attention kept going back to the sharks.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. He's such a little tiny baby.
Oh, God.
Okay. So that's the story with Donald Trump's Mario penis.
I think maybe we need to delve into this Yeti pubes thing a little more. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean like extremely long?
I don't know. I mean, maybe is
thick and bushy or?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question is, Charles, are we talking about the North American Yeti, which is commonly referred to as the Sasquatch or the Bigfoot? Or are we referring to the Yeti in the Himalayas?
In which case it may be white or gray.
Yeah, white. Like, yeah, that's what we're always told is that. But I mean, again, the Yeti, you know, remember back in like the 70s, they had Yeti scalps that they were showing, but they were really just yak fur.
Sure.
So it's possible that Donald Trump's pubes look like yak fur, but my guess is that they're white. And then because of course he's got to paint himself up to disguise his actual flesh tone. So and of course his hair color, which is now some form of piss yellow.
And he would probably dye his pubes the same color as his hair too.
Yeah,
see, knowing Donald Trump,
right? He's just that vain to spend a lot of time dyeing his pubes. Now, here's a big question. Here's God. If you talk about something that you want to see, if there's anything I would love to see. Of course, I would love to see Donald Trump Jr. get indicted and frog marched out of Trump Tower and into a paddy wagon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But short of that, I'd love to have a tape of Donald Trump desperately explaining to Melania why Stormy Daniels knows exactly what his pathetic little wiener looks like. That's the tape that I want to see. If Lordy, there are tapes. Let it be that tape, because I don't see how Donald Trump wiggles out of this. You know?
Well, all you have to do is look at their interactions together, and you can see that there's history going on there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Well,
she knows what he's like. You know, she probably knew when she got into it. He never made any secret of it, let's face it.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the thing. I think that's the case with just about everybody. It's like, why? Suddenly, Donald Trump is a character in the news, and he had no existence prior to that. Like, people didn't seem to know about him prior to descending the escalator at Trump Tower and announcing his candidacy. Of course, there has been like three decades of notorious news and information telecast and printed about Donald Trump's shenanigans in Manhattan and the real estate industry and so on, and then often in or later on in television and so on. It's not news. With the way Trump is, it shouldn't be breaking news for anybody that the guy's corrupt and that he's a liar and that he exaggerates and that he whines when he doesn't get his way and that he's entitled. Yeah. You know, all of that shit.
I mean, I remember back in the 80s, when I was touring with Al Jarreau, we actually played in Atlantic City several times, at casinos in Atlantic City, and we never played at the Trump Casino. But I would occasionally talk to people in the casino or, you know, guys who were helping on stage, whatever. And back then they were telling me that Trump was running that casino into the ground and it was going to fail really soon. And people were really angry at him and he was a jerk, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, this has been decades that people know exactly what this guy is about.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And, you know, he parlayed his reality show fame into the presidency. That's basically what happened.
Well, that's just it. I mean, someone said it on MSNBC recently. They said that Donald Trump has been shielded by three things in his life. First, it was the wealth that he inherited. Second of all, it was celebrity by lucking himself into The Apprentice as a TV series and helming that TV series as the host of it, or whatever you want to call it, whatever his job was on that show. And then the third thing now is the presidency. The presidency is currently shielding him from full accountability for his malfeasance. And the jury is still out in terms of, almost literally, the jury is still out in terms of how exactly Donald Trump's going to be held accountable as president of the United States. So I don't think he's escaped yet, but certainly he's using the presidency to hide from accountability and hide from being held accountable illegally for all of his crimes. So,
yeah, the ironic thing is that might be what ends up getting him in serious trouble, possibly even jail.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he had just gone along and, you know, continued bilking contractors and, you know, his building scams and his construction business, he probably would have been able to just keep going until he died, you know.
Yeah.
But now he's the president and people are digging into all this old stuff. And I guarantee you, Robert Mueller has all kinds of information, because there's no way he isn't crooked as a
question mark.
$3 bill.
As a $3 bill, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, and again, it shouldn't be any surprise. I mean, the only reason it would be a surprise to anybody is if they don't understand who Donald Trump is and what his history has been since the late 70s and early 80s. I mean, so this is all obvious stuff, and it's just the rubes who were fooled into thinking, oh, Donald Trump, you mean that guy on TV that's so funny and entertaining on The Apprentice? Boy, he's great. And they don't have any idea all the shit that he's been into for so many years, so many decades.
Well, you know, I look at The Apprentice. Look at the premise of that show.
Yeah.
It's designed to appeal to a kind of a person who finds it amusing to watch other people lose.
Right. Or,
you know what I'm saying? So it really reaches that demographic that elected Donald Trump, the people who are not really into politics or anything like that, but they like to see their enemies suffer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the whole thing with that show is he spent the entire show, his whole catchphrase on that show is "you're fired," and then he decides to run for president, promising people he's going to create jobs. So that's one of the many, many ironies about The Apprentice and Donald Trump running for president. But meanwhile, speaking of The Apprentice, Ronan Farrow evidently has tapes of Donald Trump, all the behind-the-scenes outtakes and B-roll from The Apprentice, where evidently, at least according to Tom Arnold, who I don't know whether to believe yet, you know, because he's clearly doing a reality TV show. That's what he's in the process of
producing. Tom Arnold said Ronan Farrow had that?
This is according to, let's see, investigative journalist Ronan Farrow reportedly has possession of Donald Trump tapes from when he started on NBC's The Apprentice, Page Six, MSN, and Deadline reported on Monday. So that's three different sources. The tapes reportedly document Trump using the N-word and calling his son Eric an R word. I think we know what R word that is.
Yeah.
And you know what, Charles? I don't know which one would actually be worse for Donald Trump. I tend to believe that calling Eric Trump the R word, at least among the red hats, would be more damaging than referring to someone as the N word. And, you know, all of us.
Oh, definitely.
All of us normals, of course, will be outraged about the N word. I mean, that's the main thing we'd be outraged by. But the red hats are so demented, they'd be like, oh, well, now he's crossed the line with that R word and Eric Trump.
I don't know. On the other hand, one of their favorite insults is libtard. So,
oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know, I don't know that really is going to get, you know, whatever whatever scruples are left in those people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be insane if they didn't go nuts knowing that Donald Trump attacked his own child, like criticized his own child using that kind of language. It was just some random character. I guess okay in their mind, but the fact that it's Eric Trump seems to me as if that would be a step beyond what they're accustomed to hearing.
We'll have to see. I've actually said that several times about previous issues and always been proven wrong. So,
right.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know anymore what will eventually trigger the Republicans to take any action on this guy, because clearly Brett Kavanaugh is not doing it. Well, you know what? There might be a little bit of wiggle room here, and I think that's important to recognize, is that with this whole business with Brett Kavanaugh and these rape allegations, which is another just the massive, gigantic story for this week. You know, when it comes to this, clearly they're moving things around. They're trying to accommodate these allegations. And the thing, though, that we need to bear in mind, too, is that the Democrats are kind of kicking ass right now. The Senate Dems are actually not taking yes for an answer. This really, I mean, they've done is they've postponed this vote, right? And then they've called another hearing for Monday, in which they're going to have Professor Christine Ford and Brett Kavanaugh are both going to appear. Christine Ford is obviously the woman who's accusing Brett Kavanaugh of attempting to rape her when he was 17 years old, so 25 years ago, 35 years ago, something like that. And so these two people are going to show up and testify. I think they need to call the witness, too. The other kid who was with Brett Kavanaugh. They need to call him up,
Mark Judge.
Right. Yeah, Mark Judge, exactly.
You know, actually, I just read this morning that that she may not appear.
Oh, really?
They haven't confirmed that she's going to be there yet.
Wow. So she might not accept the invitation. So what would they do? I guess they would proceed without her? Or it just seems like we've gotten this far. It would seem like the appropriate thing for her to do would be to at least show up at this point. But, I mean, that's got to be her call. Yeah. But, I mean, it seems like, you know, the Dems aren't accepting Monday as being an appropriate time to have this hearing. And I think this is a great thing to be seeing from the Senate Dems, that they're seriously, they're entirely serious about moving this as far back, delaying this as much as we can. And so now they're calling for the FBI to step in and investigate, which should push things even further back. So if the Dems,
of course, Trump is saying he's not going to do that. He's not going to let the FBI do that. He says they don't want to.
Yeah. He said the FBI doesn't want to look into Kavanaugh rape allegations. But, I mean, the thing is that they would have to make that decision independently, wouldn't they? Or does Trump have some information along those lines? Or is Trump lying? I mean, that's just the thing.
Yeah, they do make those decisions independently. The president doesn't instruct the FBI who to investigate. That's not how it works.
Well, I wonder, and there's no information along these lines as to whether or not the president has spoken with Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, but it would seem to me as if he would have to have had some sort of specific word from Wray about, or from Jeff Sessions for that matter, as to whether or not they're going to look into it. Otherwise, we can only assume that Donald Trump's making this up.
Well, yeah, that's what I would assume. When he says they don't want to, I just read that and I immediately thought, well, he's just saying that. He's lying again. He hasn't talked to anyone.
Oh, yeah, obviously. And then he says here, I mean, the exact quote he said is, I don't think the FBI really should be involved because they don't want to be involved. That's a total Trump remark there. I mean, what the hell does that even mean? I don't think the FBI really should be involved because they don't want to be involved.
Yeah, I know. He reveals himself in one sentence. It's amazing. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
he does that all the time, but people always miss it, you know. But his stream of consciousness style of talking, he ends up telling you what he really thinks so much of the time. If you just go back and read it literally and just, you know, just follow what he's actually saying instead of the storm of bullshit coming your way.
Yeah, this is the real way of knowing exactly what this is. I mean, whether he actually spoke with the FBI or not. But, I mean, the FBI, I think, has a responsibility to check this out. I mean, they're being asked by the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is no small potatoes here. I mean, obviously, right. Dianne Feinstein carries some weight in the Senate, much less her committee. So to me, it seems like if they haven't already, they're going to at least look into this and find out whatever they can. And if that's the case,
I think they'll make their own decision for sure, because you know, and they're not going to not do it because Trump tells them not to. That's, you know, that's not how they won't. I mean, if it works like that, then we're truly lost in this country.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and you have to add these rape allegations into the long list of things that I hope it would be great if this additional hearing also covered some of these other things too, so that everything was presented in context, because it's not just rape allegations. And of course that could be it. I mean, that if there was one reason to disqualify Brett Kavanaugh from serving a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court, it would be rape allegations. Doesn't matter if it was when he was 17 years old. There's rape allegations, and they seem legitimate because, I mean, from what we've heard is that there are records of this person, Christine Ford, talking about Brett Kavanaugh and the rape allegations going back years. There's actually records with her therapist.
Right, from 2012.
Yeah, so, exactly. You
know, a long time ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, why? My big question is, why would she make something up like that in 2012 about someone like Brett Kavanaugh? It seems like at that point in time, who is he? I mean, why would the allegations be about that guy specifically if she was just bullshitting? And I don't think she's bullshitting.
I think that's definitely one of the most convincing parts of her story.
Yeah.
I mean, she supposedly took a polygraph test, but let's face it, that's junk science. Polygraph, you know, machines are not lie detectors. They don't tell you if someone's telling the truth or not. They really don't. They measure stress.
Yeah.
Not honesty. There's no way to measure honesty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, that's, you know, it's okay because it shows she's willing to do it, and, you know, and it kind of puts pressure on the other side to do something equivalent. But that's not, for me, that's not the most convincing part. Well, the fact that she told her therapist and her husband is very convincing, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I think the fact that she did submit to a polygraph test was an important thing, even though, you know, the actual science may not be, you know, 100% sound. But the fact of the matter is that submitting to something like that is in and of itself, I think, an admission of innocence or an admission of truth.
Apparently she did it because her attorney recommended it, which, you know, obviously it makes sense just to, you know, throw one more bit of corroboration into the mix.
Well, I mean, if you're hiding something, why would you submit to something like that? I can guarantee that Brett Kavanaugh is not going to do a polygraph test. Even if it is junk science, he's going to refuse to do it. It's just like with the documents. It's like with all the Kavanaugh documents that were, you know, quote unquote committee confidential that the public isn't allowed to see. All these documents, you know, it's like, well, they could be completely innocent. Every single document that's being withheld about Brett Kavanaugh could show, the guy's not a problem at all. But but the fact that they're being withheld telegraphs a level of secrecy that is highly, highly suspicious, especially when you put it in context with the fact that every Supreme Court nominee, at least in recent memory, has come with him or her an entire body, the entire range of all the things that those people have written or touched, every piece of paper, every article, every judicial decision, everything along the way was always made public until now. So why is it that the Republicans don't want the public to see these documents? So,
I just read on Twitter that three Democratic senators have sent a letter to Don McGahn, White House counsel, asking him, what detail did you have about these allegations before they were public?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the right question to ask, because, I mean, that's why they're withholding all these documents. And what else is in there?
Right, right. Well, I mean, for God's sake, I mean, it's not just the Democrats, too. I think some of the Republicans are really starting to skitz out about this stuff. I mean, Jeff Flake looks iffy. Susan Collins, you know, Lisa Murkowski. And Lisa Murkowski has other reasons, too, on top of all of this, with regard to Native Alaskans, based on Mazie Hirono's questioning of Brett Kavanaugh about Native Hawaiians, which I'm sure you know some things about, Charles, having lived in Hawaii for a while. But, I mean, then you have to add all of this in, going back to the context of all of the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. It's not just about rape. It's not just about his decisions regarding abortion or birth control or Native Alaskans. It's the fact that he lied under oath. He has an obvious gambling problem. He could also have a drinking problem. He's being, you know, and this is my thing, the thing that I keep screaming about. I feel like Howard Beale just on television screaming about something, and it's the fact that very obviously Brett Kavanaugh was puppeteered by Donald Trump. There's a line in his address from when he was first nominated at the White House where it's the third line in the thing, and the third line includes the line, "Thank you, Mr. President." So it was technically the second sentence that was spoken by Brett Kavanaugh in front of television, the second sentence that the American people heard Brett Kavanaugh en masse actually say into the camera was orchestrated, written, and foisted upon Brett Kavanaugh by Donald Trump. Nobody has done more diligence about choosing a Supreme Court nominee than this president. That's it. I mean, it's what Brett Kavanaugh said. I wrote about it for the Daily Banter. So you can read my whole rundown over at thedailybanter.com. But the thing is that this sentence was very, very obviously written by Donald Trump and handed to Brett Kavanaugh. Make sure you say this. And Brett Kavanaugh, and this is the key, because Donald Trump does this all the time, make no mistake.
Sure.
He did it with Ronnie Jackson and so on. But the thing is that Brett Kavanaugh agreed to be sock puppeted by Donald Trump. And then if you loop into the mix, Charles, the fact that Donald Trump is being sock puppeteered by Vladimir Putin, you can only draw the conclusion that in a circuitous way, with at least one hop with Donald Trump in the middle, that Vladimir Putin is puppeteering a lifetime appointee to the Supreme Court.
It's puppets all the way down, Bob.
Yeah, it is. Puppets left and right. You got puppets with little tiny mushroom penises.
Speaking of more stuff in Brett Kavanaugh's past, too, did you see the article by David Brock?
No.
At NBC? No, you missed this one? I should post a link to this. This is pretty amazing, because he says he used to know Brett Kavanaugh back when he was a right-wing operative.
Oh, wow.
And he talks a lot about what the whole culture was around Brett Kavanaugh and the, you know, I mean, he was part of the Kenneth Starr investigation of Bill Clinton and was hooked up with, you know, Ted Olson and George W. Bush, Richard Mellon Scaif.
Oh, my God.
You know, he was actually, he used to talk a lot about the Vince Foster conspiracies. You know,
they,
wow. Oh, yeah, you should. This is quite an article.
So Brett Kavanaugh is linked to Richard Mellon Scaif. Why does that not surprise me in the slightest?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, here's, this is, let me read one little section here.
Sure.
From this, I just pulled this up. It's a detailed analysis of Kavanaugh's own notes from the Starr investigation reveals he was cherry-picking random bits of information from the investigation, as well as the multiple previous investigations, attempting vainly to legitimize wild right-wing conspiracies. For years, he chased down each one of them without regard to the emotional cost to Foster's family and friends, or even common decency. Anyway, it goes, it's really pretty scary. I mean, we're talking Ann Coulter, you know, this was the whole, the nascent far right that is now in charge of our government.
Yeah, and wasn't he also involved, Brett Kavanaugh was also involved in the recount effort, right? Didn't he represent George W. Bush in the recount?
I believe so, yes.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, and this is the guy. And, of course, what we know also is that he was nominated mainly, you know, Donald Trump, I'm sure, liked Brett Kavanaugh's name, I'm sure the name was a big deal. Sounds like central casting. Sounds like a tough guy. Sounds like Brett Kavanaugh. Sounds like a real man's man. And that, I'm sure that was part of Donald Trump's reason. Absolutely, 100% certain of that. But the other thing
I wish I'd named Eric Brett.
That's right. I wish Eric Trump had been named Brett Kavanaugh Trump. Oh, my God. But, you know, the other thing is that obviously Brett Kavanaugh's record on presidential accountability, subpoenaing the president, indicting the president, this was the main factor. I mean, they talk about something that allowed Brett Kavanaugh to rise to the surface of the list from the Federalist Society. This would be why. This is Donald Trump goes, oh, I think bingo, I think we've got a bingo here. Yes, this is all about safeguarding Donald Trump. This is Donald Trump's big insurance policy on the Supreme Court.
And it gets even better, Bob, because I don't know if you know, but there's also a Chuck C. Johnson connection here.
Oh, what's the Chuck C. Johnson connection?
Well, Mark Judge, Kavanaugh's friend who was supposedly with him at that party and somehow interrupted the attempted rape. By apparently jumping on top of them as he was attempting to molest, you know, Professor Ford. She wasn't a professor then, of course, but anyway, Mark Judge actually wrote an article that was published at Chuck C. Johnson's garbage blog, gotnews.com.
Oh, God, that still exists.
And it's even better because the article itself was about the Rolling Stone University of Virginia rape case. And it was before the article had been discredited and retracted. You know, this is right after it first came out. He was, and his article was basically sort of attacking, sort of sleazing the victim. You know, and so, you know, this sort of thing Chuck Johnson does all the time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's why he published it at his site. It was basically, you know, it wasn't an all out vicious attack. I wouldn't put it that way, but it was definitely an attempt to cast doubt on it.
Yeah.
And I mean, so that's the connection with Chuck C. Johnson. Right. And there's probably more too, you know.
Yeah.
But Chuck C. Johnson has now taken down gotnews.com.
Oh, are you serious? When did that happen?
Yesterday, yesterday after the Mark Judge news came out.
Oh my God. So there it is. I mean, there is a little bit of an admission of guilt. Like, oh shit, I'm going to be looped into all of this. I better take this down. Take down the whole site
is offline. It's completely gone. If you go to it now, there's nothing but a farewell message.
Then again, does that not happen a lot? It seems to me as if every other day I'm reading about Chuck C. Johnson losing his website or his Twitter account or his Facebook pages.
Yeah, well, he shut down his Facebook page, too. So he's shutting down his social media presence and his internet presence, pretty much.
Really, really fascinating, because Chuck C. Johnson has never shied away from outing rape victims or being ensconced in discrediting them.
Oh, that's, he's obsessed with it.
That's one of the things he does.
Yeah, years.
If you're a rape victim and you want to remain anonymous, stay away from Chuck C. Johnson, because he's going to out you. And you know,
that's what he does first thing, and also try to connect you to Democrats or liberals or, you know, some kind of far left connection, even if he has to make it up or find it with some other wrong person or whatever.
Man, you know, I hope Chuck C. Johnson and Lee Stranahan end up sharing a jail cell together after all of this is done. Maybe throw Brad Parscale in there, too. These three hacks. I mean, Jesus Christ. Okay, so I want to talk about Beachbody On Demand. Even though it is September and October is right around the bend, now's the time when you want to start getting ready for your Beachbody next year, for your Beachbody 2019, right? And even though I'm 47 now, I'm an old guy, I've added at least 5 pounds. It's changed since then. I haven't checked, but I've added at least 5 pounds of lean muscle mass since discovering the Beachbody On Demand workouts months and months ago. Try the Lift 4 workout, guys. That's LIIFT4 with trainer Joel Freeman. You will not regret it. I had plateaued for a long time with my fitness, and Beachbody On Demand squared me away again, broke me through that plateau, and I'm on my way now to my goals once again, thank God. And by the way, let me know your progress so I can share it here during our next Beachbody On Demand commercial. But Beachbody On Demand is the online fitness streaming service that gives you unlimited access to a wide variety of highly effective world-class workouts personalized for you because you get to choose which one you want. There are 600 different workouts that you can sort by type, or you can choose a favorite trainer. Beachbody On Demand also offers extensive nutrition guidance. The food is the main thing, one of the big three things in terms of getting in shape. And it's convenient. You never have to go to a gym or schedule a class. You can do it right in your home using your phone or your tablet or your TV. Best of all, it's affordable. A free trial gets you all 600 workouts and all of their nutrition info. But you'll want to keep going with a subscription that's cheaper than a gym membership. At least sign up for that total access free trial, but you have to text the code BOBC to 303030 in order to get it. No spaces, just text BOBC to 303030 to get Beachbody On Demand. Do it right now.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey, welcome back to our Tuesday show. Charles Johnson is here from Little Green Footballs, filling in for Buzz Burbank, who's on vacation this week. By the way, make sure to go shopping through our Amazon link. Do it now. All you have to do is go to BobSeska.com and click the all caps Amazon link just beneath the logo. It takes you right to the front page of Amazon.com, so you can search for the Bob Woodward book. Pick it up there. And that's all it takes. Plus, we get a teeny tiny commission from some of the things you buy, right? Thank you for doing that now. Okay, what next?
Yeah, that Bob Woodward book is now the most, the fastest selling book in the publisher's history.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And finally, my copy is coming. I wanted it last week. I like an idiot, I ordered it the day it came out. And so Amazon was like, oh, wait a minute, we're sold out. We can't send your book right away. But I did get a notice this morning that mine is now officially on the way. I should have it by Thursday, they say. So I'll be able to, before the Sexy Liberal Blue Wave Tour in D.C. on Saturday night, I'll be able to read through as much of the Bob Woodward book as I can possibly digest.
That reminds me. I was going to, do they have it for Kindle yet? Do you know?
I think they do. I think you can get it for Kindle. And I'm just, I'm an old fuddy-duddy, so I like the hardcover paper book, you know, the actual... You know, the actual printed book that I can hold in my hand, you know.
Yeah, I used to like that too, and I've pretty much switched entirely over to digital now.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it is that I spend all week looking at a computer screen, and then when I, because I never have time to read. So if I actually sit down to try to read something, that if it's on a computer screen, I'm just like, I just want to take a nap. And then I'll start browsing other websites, and I'll end up on Twitter, and then I'll be distracted, and then that'll be it, and I won't ever read the book. So,
yeah, I get that nap feeling whenever I look at the computer these days. I mean, it's pretty much everything on it makes me want to take a long nap.
That's right. It's either that, or it sends me into a sheer panic. It's just like, shit. shit, it's really happening now. I think Mitch McConnell is just as much of a troll as Donald Trump is.
Oh, yeah.
Except don't you think McConnell's a little bit more subtle about it? But I think as far as trolls go, he could give Donald Trump a run for his money. Here's what he did. Yesterday, he said that Democrats aren't following standard bipartisan process and regular order on Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. This is Jesus Christ. I mean, you talk about something that deserves a big
fuck you.
It'd be that because. This is quite obviously Mitch McConnell just saying, you know what, Democrats, go fuck yourself. And it's, and it's not even just that. It's just he's got to do it in this obvious trollish kind of way. Like, I know what I've done with Merrick Garland. I know that I flummoxed that entire nomination deliberately because we didn't want to, we didn't want Barack Obama to appoint another Supreme Court justice. So I did that. I screwed that all up, made sure that that didn't go through so I could set up Neil Gorsuch and now Brett Kavanaugh. And then he goes back to the fact that suddenly Mitch McConnell wants to embrace regular order.
Get out of here, you low-life scum. Right.
Oh, it's you know, it goes back to what I said about, you know, Trump's base is people who like to see other people suffer.
Yeah.
And that includes his congressional supporters. You know, people like McConnell. I mean, this is basically just a statement to own the libs once again.
That's right.
It's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that yesterday that I tweeted that pointing out the massive hypocrisy in the statement is futile because these people have no consciences and can't be shamed. But damn.
Well, you know, along those lines, too, I mean, speaking of owning the libs, I mean, if you just look at reasons why Donald Trump should pardon Paul Manafort, doesn't really immediately seem like there's a reason for Donald Trump to do it. Seems like Robert Mueller has really boxed in Donald Trump and said, well, you know, I mean, pardoning Paul Manafort is not going to get you anything.
Right.
But, I mean, obviously, Donald Trump will pardon Paul Manafort just to own the libs. That's what they do now, right?
Well, almost even because people are telling him not to, you know. this is kind of Trumpian thing,
oh,
too, you know.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about that. If someone says, no, don't do that, Trump's going to go like, okay, well, now that settles it, I'm going to do it, watch me.
In fact, one way you can tell when he really feels like he's in trouble on something, mm-hmm. is when he shuts up.
Yeah.
About it.
Right.
Or suddenly sounds reasonable, which he's kind of been doing with Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, what do you think that is all about?
You know, I kind of think some of those Congress critters went to him and, you know, sort of read him the riot act and said, stay out of this. We don't want you in this. You know, all you can do is make it worse. So just please don't comment about this.
Yep.
You know, because that I can't see any other reason. I mean, I look at his feed today and there's not a single tweet about it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And yesterday he was like, well, we'll see what happens. Whatever. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right.
So striking to hear from someone who has something to say about everything.
I think, you know, that tells you how important they see that, and it is, yeah, that important. You know, for them to get another hard right conservative on the bench at this point,
yeah,
you know, that's disastrous for progressive, you know, politics. It really is, and it's going to last for, geez, a generation or more.
Well, and it's not even that. It's not even that there's going to be a hard right conservative on the court to replace Anthony Kennedy, who was the, you know, the whatever you call him, the moderate, the swing vote on the court, what have you.
Right.
But the fact that Brett Kavanaugh is also someone who is being puppeteered by Donald Trump, who's being puppeteered by Vladimir Putin, I can't emphasize that enough, that this is, yeah, this is an agent of the Kremlin appointing not one but two justices to lifetime appointments on the Supreme Court, an agent of Vladimir Putin. And let there be no mistake, at this point, we know this is true. There is no, yeah, I mean, all his bullshit about no collusion is just that. It is just 100% bullshit. It's Donald Trump bullshitting. Because, I mean, if there's anything we know at this point with regard to what happened with the 2016 election, it had to do with the Donald Trump campaign conspiring with Russia to attack our democratic institutions. You know, Ben Shapiro is now looped into the Russia thing.
Specifically, I got an Manafort instant thing. Headache. Ben, yeah, Shapiro, instant migraine.
The Shapiro bot is now part, you know, of the Manafort investigation.
Back when I was identified with the right wing, Ben Shapiro used to email me all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Trying to get me to link to his articles or promoting this or that thing he was,
wow,
involved in. You know, we're talking like 2004, 5, 6, in that area. So
yeah, and that's an old version of the Ben Shapiro software communicating with you. Because Ben Shapiro is obviously an Android, and we've,
right,
pretty much confirmed,
well, you know,
that.
Back then, he never struck me as being an extremist, really. You know, yeah, I didn't. He seemed to be kind of, you know, trying to find the politics that was going to work for him, and I guess, you know, right-wingers are always attracted to the grift, and now he's fully in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and that's become quite obvious. And it's not just any grift. It's the spreading of Paul Manafort's propaganda that Ben Shapiro right. specifically linked to. One incident
helping to spread that Ukrainian nonsense.
Oh yeah, and this is directly pulled from Manafort's plea agreement. One incident in particular, outlined in the court documents, was largely overlooked before it was spotted by the Daily Beast's Spencer Ackerman. Manafort convinced conservative provocateur, boy, that's generous, conservative provocateur Ben Shapiro to support his political work in Ukraine. Quote, Manafort owes much of his time behind bars to his work on behalf of Russian-backed Ukrainian political interests, according to Ackerman. Manafort worked for Kremlin-supported Ukraine President Viktor Yanukovych during his re-election campaign against Yulia Tymoshenko in 2012. The superseding criminal information released on Friday detailed Manafort's work in the U.S. on behalf of Yanukovych, in addition to disseminating stories about Tymoshenko soliciting murder. Noted above, in October 2012, Manafort orchestrated a scheme to have, as he wrote in a contemporaneous communication, Obama Jews put pressure on the administration to disavow Tymoshenko and support Yanukovych. Part of that effort was coordinating privately with senior Israeli government official to issue a written statement publicizing this story. Court documents state that Manafort then, with secret advance knowledge of that Israeli statement, worked to disseminate the story inside the United States, right? So who did Manafort get to write about this baseless allegation in the U.S.? None other than Ben Shapiro.
Right.
As The Guardian's Luke Harding explained it in April, and by the way, I preface this by saying Luke Harding has not had the most stellar record when it comes to reporting. Do you remember the Luke Harding story from the Snowden reporting, Charles?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. It's coming back to me.
Remember, Luke Harding was the guy who said that the NSA was deleting his book while he wrote it.
Oh, yes. He was the other one. It was also, Cheryl Atkinson also made a similar claim?
Maybe.
You know, from the right this time?
It's like their delete button was stuck down or something,
right.
Or they had their insert button turned on.
Some Cheeto crumbs got into their keyboard.
Right, and they were saying that when they would write a sentence, suddenly the sentence would start to rapidly delete, as if the NSA was literally deleting their book as they typed it.
The bastards.
But anyway, so Luke Harding explained back in April that Manafort's media operation included attacks on Hillary Clinton. In October of 2012, Rick Gates emailed Manafort and Alan Friedman, flagging a piece written by journalist Ben Shapiro. The Breitbart article criticized Clinton for her public support of Tymoshenko, who had recently made an electoral pact with the far-right Svoboda Party. Did I get that right? S-V-O-B-O-D-A party?
I'm not Svoboda. Sure.
Svoboda?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That's how you say it.
The article cited a Jewish leader who accused Clinton anonymously of creating a neo-Nazi Frankenstein. Gates wrote, "Gentlemen, here is the first part of a series of articles that will be coming as we continue to build this effort. Alan, you get full credit for the Frankenstein comment." Oh, isn't that nice of him, too?
Well, wasn't Ben Shapiro writing for Breitbart at that point too?
Yes, Shapiro.
So undoubtedly, this was filtered through Steve Bannon.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Bannon probably assigned Shapiro to write something like this,
and maybe that's how they found out about it. Shapiro's Manafort-inspired piece was published by Breitbart, his former employer, in October 2012, under the headline "Jewish Leaders Blame Hillary Clinton for Legitimizing Ukraine's Neo-Nazi Party."
Oh, man, that's such a Bannon type headline. Yeah. It's amazing.
I mean, it's really a whole contrived, circuitous line of attack here against Hillary Clinton. You have to understand what's going on with Ukraine. You have to understand how this links up with Jewish leaders. And yeah, I mean, basically, you have to do a deep dive into this story to understand what it's all about. But the big takeaway, obviously, here is that Ben Shapiro was recruited by Manafort and Gates to spread this anti-Hillary propaganda in October of 2012.
A lot of the personalities that you and I follow all the time, the right-wing personalities, are getting pulled into this mess.
Yeah, shocking how that happens. Shocking how we've been ahead of all of this stuff, knowing that being able to spot these guys like a fart in a car has been really...
You know, I've been talking to some people who think Chuck C. Johnson is going to eventually end up in some kind of... Either he'll get called before Congress to testify and subpoenaed, or he'll be actually charged with something. Because, I mean, he's been connected with all of these people.
Yeah.
You know, and basically running errands for them. You know, he's seen Dana Rohrabacher.
Dana Rohrabacher, yeah.
In London, outside the Ecuadorian embassy.
And doesn't Chuck C. Johnson all have links to Nigel Farage as well?
Oh, yeah. All of those people. I mean, they're all connected. I mean, they've been doing this for years. The American far right, well, actually, it's not that far right anymore. It pretty much is the right.
Yeah.
Has been building connections with European fascist groups, you know, like the all of those people, Farage and Le Pen in France and this guy in the Ukraine, and Viktor Orban, and all of these, you know, all of the people that we now see in the news. Mm-hmm. This has been going on. They've been building these connections for years and years. And, you know, people pretty much ignored it. You'd be hard put to find media coverage of that while it was beginning to happen.
Yeah.
While it was growing and building, you know. But now that it's built and it's in charge of so many governments around the world, it's, you know, now there's plenty of coverage of it, but it's kind of too late.
The first real domino to fall would be if the Democrats fail to take back at least one chamber of Congress in the midterms. Yes. And, well, maybe it wouldn't be the first domino to fall, but it would be a significant domino to fall. So if that happens...
That would be a disaster. I really hope that does not happen.
Yeah, yeah. Because
we really need to overcome that Democratic midterm election curse
this year, more than ever. I really keep going back to 2006 and looking at a parallel election in 2006 and seeing, this is possible to happen again. And even with gerrymandering existed in 2006, certainly voter suppression existed in 2006, and yet it happened anyway. The big obvious wild card in all of this is Russia. And so this is why I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the polls, I'm seeing, so Donald Trump's approve-disapprove is at minus 12.9. That spread is, you know, 40 approve, 53.7-ish disapprove. This is all good news, but there's and of course a lot of the polls regarding the midterms are very positive for the Democrats. But of course you have to filter all of that shit through Russia, and that's a big one. I mean, I don't know. I can't even begin to make a prediction on what's going to happen in those midterms because of Russia's involvement itself.
All we can hope is that Donald Trump has pissed off enough people that they'll actually be motivated to get off their asses, especially young people who are traditionally really bad about voting in midterms.
Yep. And that's the big issue with the Democrats. You know, you loop that right in with voter suppression and gerrymandering and Russia and all the rest of it, and you have a basic problem inside the Democratic electorate, which is that a gigantic chunk of the Democratic base just does not turn out historically in midterms. I mean, presidential elections, they turn out pretty well. But in terms of midterms, the young people, they don't. And polling has shown that they might not again this year. And you know, that Chris Hayes panel last week didn't help my confidence level either.
Me neither. That was kind of a little bit depressing to watch, actually.
Yeah. Very, very, especially
the people who said, I didn't vote for either Hillary or Trump, and I don't regret it one bit.
And that
you don't regret it? How can you not regret that?
And again, they're waiting for candidates to inspire them before they want to cast a ballot, which is it's even difficult to quantify how ridiculous that is.
Well, they're looking at it as entertainment and not as, you know, not as something that's important to their very existence.
Exactly right. And the Republican attack on education for the last three decades, good job, Republicans. You actually succeeded in something. You did it. You made an entire generation of people who don't know why they should or shouldn't vote. You made an entire generation of people who are just as diseducated as Donald Trump. And that's quite a feat. Mm-hmm. And they did it. They somehow managed to screw up the whole thing just by catching us looking the other way. We're all the Democrats for the last 40 years, we've been looking at the presidency as being our target. It's not our target. It shouldn't have been our target. And meanwhile, the Republicans were targeting school boards, whether at the local level or at the state level, and influencing education and making it so that there would be an entire generation of young people who are now definitely interested in fascism.
And then there's the religious right connection. I mean, for decades, the religious right has been homeschooling children, mm-hmm. pushing their agenda into public schools, especially in places like Texas where they're open to it.
Yep.
And basically building an entire generation of indoctrinated kids who think it's their duty to go out and seize political power.
Yep. Yep.
We're now seeing these are the Tea Party Congress people, you know, the more radical ones. They're all from that generation, and they all come from that religious right upbringing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, you can trace this all back to that effort to get into state and local governments. And that's where the Republican Party really has a firm grasp. And you say, well, Obama was president for 2 terms. We had Clinton. We had a Democratic majority for a while there, a super majority, you know, veto-proof majority just after the 2008 election and everything. But, yeah, that's all fine, and it's important to do that. But at the same time, the real important shit is happening at the state and local level. And a lot of those elections occur in off-year elections, you know, in between a general election and a midterm, or in a primary election when the young people, they just don't turn out. And that's where the Democrats own us right now, and which has to absolutely turn around if we're going to fix any of this awful shit. All right. I want to talk about this declassification bullshit that Trump is pulling, this more obstruction of justice, more abuse of power. We're going to take one last break and talk about that right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, well, we have a few minutes left here on the show today. This is another example of Trump making things worse for Trump. Because, you know, Trump always makes things worse for Trump. And I wonder if he and some of the Republican leadership on the Hill are already aware of what's behind the redactions in the Carter Page FISA application.
Very likely, I think so, yeah.
Well, so I guess then they would know what's going to be revealed, but I get the sense that maybe they don't. Maybe they're just shooting in the dark here. Because, I mean, everything they've done, this happens time and time again. We've covered this a little bit on the show, too, where they see, like, a shiny object, and they want that declassified. It's like the hashtag release the memo. Remember hashtag release?
Right.
This happens about once a month, where they find some little detail that they've got to see because, oh, that's going to be the thing that that proves that all of this is a big deep state conspiracy.
Right.
And proves that Donald Trump is innocent and that there was no collusion and it's a witch hunt, the 17 angry Democrats, yada, 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 and so on. That in this case, Donald Trump is trying to, or at least he has, officially declassified and ordered the release of former FBI Director James Comey's text messages and 20 pages of the surveillance application targeting Carter Page. He also called for the release of Bruce Orr's notes related to the Russia investigation. And you know what? They're going to find something where Bruce Orr expresses an opinion or James Comey expresses an opinion. They say, oh, there it is. There it is. Right.
And they'll seize on it, and it'll be right-wing received wisdom from then on.
Right.
But you know, I mean, I've actually already seen some Congress people saying, be careful what you wish for. You know, yeah. Some Democrats saying, you know, go ahead and release it. Just be careful. Because it may not reveal what you think it's going to reveal.
Exactly what I'm saying. That there's going to be, they're going to make a big deal out of this, and this is going to get them through, I don't know, 24, 48 hours of complaining and screeching on Twitter. And then the information is going to get unredacted. And then they're going to see that, oh, no, oh, look, suddenly this makes things worse for Trump. This doesn't help Trump.
It's either nothing or it makes it worse.
Exactly. And so that's what they're going to find in the FISA application. What they're trying to do with the FISA application is they're trying to create more linkage with the FISA application and the Steele dossier. And because they, of course, have, I don't know if it's successful or not, certainly on their side with all the red hats, it's been successful, but not broadly speaking, they haven't really been able to fully smear the Steele dossier.
Right.
They want people to think that it's this phony baloney dossier, but none of it has been discredited yet.
No, nothing.
And in fact, Charles, I mean, significant portions of it have been verified by Richard Burr and the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to end up being, I bet we're going to eventually see that P tape. So,
Oh my God.
As soon as you bring up the dossier, we have to go to the P tape.
Yeah, we have to go to the P tape. And of course, that brings
the apocryphal Trump story of our era.
I'm the best!
And he's the best. So, President Donald J. Trump has directed the Department of Justice, including the FBI, to publicly release all text messages related to the Russia investigation without redaction of James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Bruce Orr. These are all of Donald Trump's chosen villains. These are the people who Donald Trump has chosen to discredit and attack. I mean, Bruce Orr, of all of them, has got to be sitting there going, what the fuck did I do? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't think anyone can properly enumerate why Bruce Orr is one of the... I can see Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. They're talking out of school in text messages using official technology owned by the FBI. For some reason, they decided this is an okay format to talk shit about some politics and so on. I can understand, maybe having an in to make a case against those two. But Bruce Orr, I mean, for God's sake.
Bruce Orr is a very reputable agent from what I've been reading.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, it's got to really, when Trump does this kind of stuff, it really has to hurt the morale of these people, I would think. You know, it's basically, the president of the U.S. is stepping in and releasing private information from an FBI agent about investigations that are currently underway. I mean, it's really pretty outrageous if you think about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there's a reason why all that shit was redacted. I mean, they're obviously trying to hide sources and methods. That's what the FBI does not want that shit getting out. And there's certain things that are pertinent to the investigation as well, which makes this obstruction of justice and abuse of power. So it's those
two
things.
It's so obvious.
Completely. I mean, and it's with Bruce Orr, it's because his wife worked for Fusion GPS like 1,000 years ago. And that's why Donald Trump is going after Bruce Orr as if he's some menacing criminal. Like, oh, we have to get this guy, Bruce Orr. I dare you to say what exactly he did wrong, but we have to get him anyway. And then
that right-wing mentality for you. Right-wing it's always mentality. The conspiracy theory everywhere. They're out to get us.
Yeah.
Well, and... And if they don't have an obvious target for that, for the conspiracy theory, they'll just attribute it to anyone who's kind of in the way, it'll be anybody.
Well, did you ever think, Charles, that all that time we spent covering Alex Jones and all of Alex Jones's minions, that would actually be kind of an Alex Jones president who would eventually get elected and be...
Oh, I know.
Good God.
I mean, for years I was pointing out that Republicans were going on Alex Jones's show and, he was getting more and more popular. He had a permanent link on the front page of Drudge Report. Mm-hmm. Right-wing blogs were starting to link to him more and more. I mean, it was obvious that he was getting more and more popular.
Yeah.
And then here's Donald Trump, you're exactly right. He's the Alex Jones president.
Yeah. And he made it abundantly clear that he was the Alex Jones president last week when he said that 3,000 dead people in Puerto Rico don't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, he actually out Alex Jones. You know what I mean?
Or Alex Jones. I don't look at his site. Has he been pushing that same conspiracy theory?
Well, no.
He probably has.
He may have been just in response to Trump's theory, but this is the Sandy Hook kids don't exist times, I don't know how many times 20 goes into 3,000, but a lot. a lot of times. Because, I mean, Alex Jones basically say, well, the 20 children at Sandy Hook who were gunned down in December of 2012, those kids don't exist. But Donald Trump saying 3,000 people don't exist.
Or they died some other way, old age or, you know.
Yep.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, they're basically trying to cast doubt on the whole concept of people continuing to die after a natural disaster because of the natural disaster.
That's right. And so anyway,
this is, I think we're in the dysfunctional nightmare of all time.
I think it really is. I mean, I was explaining, I had lunch with my dad yesterday. I was explaining to him, you know, at a certain point, I stopped being able to understand what the hell's going on because there is no precedent for any of this.
Yeah.
It's all brand new. All right. Charles Johnson is going to be found at littlegreenfootballs.com. Make sure to follow everything that Charles Johnson writes over there. Plus, you can listen to our show at littlegreenfootballs.com as well. So go do that. Buzz Burbank, meanwhile, is at buzzburbank.com. Kimberly Johnson is at patreon.com/startmeup. Jackie Schechter is at investigaterussia.org. And Jody Hamilton. Jody on the show will be back on Thursday. Take it easy, folks. See you then. Bye-bye.